Welcome to Plaid for Women Radio. This is a show focused on the business of life, communication, behavior, relationships, time management, and more. We're not here to solve the problems of the world. We're here to help you solve the problems in your world. So tune in and discover how you can reach your goals, gain influence, and be heard. Now, here's your host, Sarah Zink.
You know, college is a funny thing, and I think we all have, you know, certainly our own memories and different recollections. But I will tell you, as I was processing having my guest today on, I remembered when I applied to the college of my choice 150 years ago. I literally hand wrote my essay, and I can tell you that it was probably a handwritten essay by a senior in high school who had no larger view of the world and certainly wasn't thinking about all the dynamics of who might be looking at it. And luckily, thankfully, happily, I was admitted to the college of my choice. But I have to tell you, the world is a significantly different place than it was then. And I think that the competitive landscape that we're in, as well as people who strategize about college and college admissions and what do I want to be when I grow up, I think that gives you an edge. And I think as a parent, it's a struggle, you know, is my kid college material? What colleges would be good? And, you know, it isn't enough to put money in the bank, folks. We really do have to work with our children to figure out what is the best path for them. And it is not something I would recommend anybody who's serious about their child going to college would do by themselves. And so I am delighted to welcome to the show today a friend and certainly wise advisor, Steph Mahler. She is a certified educational planner. She's also the founder of the Mahler Institute, which is a consulting firm. Now, you know, snicker if you would, but think about this. Eighth grade, you need to start prepping for college. And so she works with students and parents, 8th through 12th grade, and helps them execute strategies to get admitted to the college of their choice. I want you to meet her and hear her story. Could not be more delighted that she's been able to make time to be on the show with us today, and certainly it is time to start thinking about that anyway. So, Steph, good morning. Thank you for joining me today.
Good morning. It is my absolute pleasure to be here with you, especially as we embark on the frenzy of college admissions and application season.
I can't even imagine. If you would, for the folks who don't know any about you, tell me a little bit and let the listeners know a little bit about you and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Well, so as you said, I'm an independent educational consultant, and I work with families starting in eighth grade to help them design and execute successful admissions strategies. And for those of you who are not familiar with this business, it's probably the fastest growing profession out there, and that's fueled by a lot of stuff we can talk about later. But my background is I started working in Ivy League admissions at the University of Pennsylvania over 20 years ago. And while I was there, it was so interesting because for so many applicants, and we would see thousands of kids come in, and for everyone who got accepted, there were easily six or seven more who were equally as qualified. So I started looking at what really differentiated the students who got in from those who didn't. And I found certain patterns, less so in what kids did, more in how they presented themselves. So I developed a bit of a strategy, used it to apply to graduate school on myself, again, almost 100 years ago, like you, and without a perfect GPA or perfect test scores or the ability to donate a building, which I'm not going to lie does help, I got accepted everywhere I applied. I ended up doing my MBA at Harvard Business School, and then post a more traditional career in business, I started this college consulting business and have successfully used that strategy with countless students since. So it's been a great time and lots of fun.
Well, I know it's been a delight to watch you and to listen to you as I've heard you at several different events speaking to parents about this. You know, I shared a little bit about my story, which is absolutely 100% true. Handwritten, you know, probably wide-ruled college paper. And I'm guessing that the college application process has changed a little bit. So would you talk about how it's changed and perhaps what the different components are of the application?
Sure. Yeah, so like you, when I applied to college, and I think when I applied to college, it was probably four or five colleges, and I had to fill out, you know, I got the four or five paper applications and filled out my name four or five times and my address four or five times and handwrote my essays four or five times and put them in a paper envelope and put a stamp on it and sent it in. That is not the case anymore. So now, for most schools, the process has become very standardized. So we have standardized applications. For Texas schools, we've got something called Apply Texas. Across the rest of the country, we've got something called the Common App or the Universal App or the just newly introduced Coalition App. And what this enables students to do is to essentially fill out one standardized application electronically and send it to a number of different schools. So they're putting their name in once, they're putting their address in once, they're doing a standard set of essays. For the most part, some schools require some supplements, and with a click of a button and, of course, the standard application fee, you can go ahead and apply to essentially as many colleges as you like. So on one hand, it's made the process a lot simpler, but on the other hand, because the process has become a lot simpler, it's also made the process somewhat more competitive, because instead of students applying to, say, four or five colleges in my day, now we're seeing students apply to, I would say, an average of 8 to 12 colleges, and I've had clients who have applied upwards of, you know, 18 or 20, which I don't recommend. But more applications for the same number of spots just means a much more competitive landscape.
Well, when we're talking about this competitive landscape, I'd like to spend a little time on that. I mean, what is it that is, in addition to the volume of students who are applying, what is it that's making it harder for students today than when you and I applied? I mean, certainly, you know, with more of more folks like you helping people strategize, then we're really talking about some kids come to the table with the ability to objectively recognize what they need to be doing. But talk about the competitiveness and what's making it so much harder for people to get into the schools they want.
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of things that drive this to be more challenging than it was perhaps in our day. So one, you just have the sheer number of applications that I just spoke about. Secondly, I think we're seeing a rise in the number of applicants, so not just a big push towards students domestically who have not traditionally applied, first-generation students. In a lot of cases, we're making college a lot more accessible and affordable, which I think is a great thing, but so that's making it more competitive. We're also seeing an influx from non-U.S. students, so students from abroad who more often are full-pay students, which makes them more attractive to universities who are trying to cover their ever-growing expenses. So in terms of the competitiveness, that's what's driving the competition. At the same time, because of funding cuts and other factors in the U.S. market, students are getting a lot less support from their high schools. So if you take a look at the recent numbers, on average, a high school guidance counselor has a caseload of somewhere between 400 and 500 students. In the state of California, it's upwards of 900 students per counselor. So you've got this combination of more competition. You've got less support in the schools, which, quite frankly, is why I have a job. And then add to all of this, you've got a much more expensive proposition at college. You know, some colleges right now, the sticker price is upwards of $65,000 per year in tuition. So you add all of that together, and it becomes a pretty daunting task.
Well, and that is just mind-boggling, of course. You know, when when I was going to school, $40,000 paid for my entire education. So, mm-hmm. I mean, $40,000 a semester, which I think should highlight for the listeners why it is absolutely so critical that this preparation, certainly using wise advisors like you, if you're serious about your kid going to college, it isn't enough for you to do it by yourself. You do need some help because the school counselors can't do it. So let's talk about part of the dynamic that's making this more competitive is that the applications are reviewed differently at different schools. Would you go over that?
Sure, yeah. So they are reviewed differently at different schools, and of course, every school is different, but there are really two large buckets. So you've got your schools, generally the larger schools, often the state schools, will review applications really based on some sort of automatic admissions, and those are usually based on some combination of GPA and test scores. And for those schools, you know, in Texas, you have your automatic, you know, top 7 or 8 or 10% admit, depending on the school. Other schools around the country have their automatic admit. And for most of those schools, those admission requirements are listed straight on the website, which makes it really easy and really transparent to see where you may or may not be accepted. For other schools, they follow what's called a holistic approach. And what that means is they have a group of admissions officers who really take the time to look at the candidate as a whole, to go beyond the grades and the transcripts to find out what type of a student is this, what type of a community member is this, what impact might they have on my college campus and beyond. And so they're looking beyond the transcript, beyond the test scores, to include things like recommendation letters. You know, maybe the student wasn't the top student in the class, but maybe that student exhibited a great deal of perseverance or grit to overcome the obstacles they faced. Or maybe that student was so passionate about a topic that they went beyond the classroom and really pursued their own learning. They'll look at things like extracurricular activities. What makes this person get up in the morning? What's their passion? What type of a community member are they going to be? So they want to be able to envision, is the student going to be the lead in my school production, or is the student going to drive the voter registration drive for, you know, this year's fall election? And then they'll look at the essay. The essay is the opportunity for the student to really reveal perhaps a piece of the application that's not coming through in the limited elements that these standardized applications allow. So maybe there's some obstacle that they've overcome, or some value that they hold very deeply, or something that's really contributed to their intellectual or personal growth. So they're really looking at the entire person.
And one of the things that I think you saw, certainly when you were working in the you know, the admissions office, but also people maybe don't find out about you until they are in the process of applying, or you're coaching people on how to apply. You've got to have stories on the ways that the process goes horribly wrong. And I'd love for you to share some of the things that you've seen, or some of the thought processes. I know you look for patterns, and I know that there's mm-hmm. probably some habits out there that the parents and the students get into, thinking, oh, they're really going to care about this, and maybe they don't, or they overlook something that would be a real leg up. So would you share some of those stories about how the process can go wrong?
For sure. So I think probably the most common way that the process goes wrong for students, and what breaks my heart the most, is when I have a student who comes to me, you know, at the end of junior year, who's spent his or her entire life studying and getting great grades and great test scores, and I have to sit there and tell them it is very unlikely that they will get into the top school of their choice, unless they are looking at one of those automatic admission schools I was telling you about. And I say to them, you know, if you consider it, there are close to 30,000 high schools in this country. Everyone has a valedictorian. Harvard's incoming class is about 2,500. So if only valedictorians applied, the admit rate would still be under 10%. And so for those highly selective schools, they're looking for more. The grades are they're a must-have. You must be able to get through the work and graduate, because colleges are not looking for freshmen, they're looking for graduates. So you've got to be able to prove that you've got that academic rigor and intellectual curiosity. But for those types of schools in that band, you need a lot more. You need to show that you're passionate. You need to show that you've had an impact in your community. So to focus, certainly focus on grades. I don't want to go out there telling people not to worry about grades. Grades are a must-have, and challenge and rigor are a must-have. But for the schools at the top of the selectivity, it's simply not enough. And that's particularly why I start working with students in eighth grade, because colleges start looking at what are students doing beginning the summer before their ninth grade year. And if you think about it, a student who takes advantage of their four summers has almost a full academic year on one who doesn't. And so how you're using your time outside of school is just as important as how you use your time inside of school.
And so I'd love it if you would just take a moment to elaborate on extracurricular. I think I see this happen so much, where people are so focused on the grades, they're so focused on the schoolwork, they're so focused on I'm going to say this and then I'll fix it. Fun, if it's fun, and I'm not even talking about sports, I'm talking about if it's fun, well, it can't be helpful to their education. But what I hear you saying is, if they're involved in drama, if they're involved in band, if they're involved in the student council, those are the things that can give them an edge on top of the grades that you want them to have. It's better to almost have a B and be very involved than to have A and no extracurricular activities?
I give you the classic consultant answer of it depends.
It depends, that's right.
An A is always better than a B, and an involved student is always better than a not involved student.
There you go.
What I would say is, again, different from when I was applying to college. When I was applying to college, colleges are really looking for the well-rounded student, right? So in my application, you saw I was involved in community service, and I was involved in athletics, and I was involved in, you know, all kinds of stuff. Now, schools are really looking for the well-rounded class, which is often made up of the fairly lopsided student. So I always advise my students to pick, you know, what are the two or three things that you really love, combining your love and your fun with your commitment, and really drive those far. And I talk a lot about going beyond the four corners of the classroom or going beyond the four corners of the school and really finding ways to pursue your interest in new and different ways. And if there is a way that you can use your talent or your interest for the benefit of others, that's even better. So let's talk about the drama student you talked about, or the art student. You know, if you love art, then yes, do everything in your school with art. If your school doesn't have an art club, maybe you start one. If you are really into it, maybe at some point you volunteer in a museum, or you work in an art supply store, or you set up a shop on Etsy and sell your art for the benefit of some organization that is meaningful to you. So really using your talents and pursuing them on your own and using them to benefit others is really what's going to make you stand out from others.
Because what I hear you say is academics are, of course, a critical foundation, but it's what do you bring to the community on campus that's the edge. It's going to give you the edge.
Absolutely.
So, I don't want to run out of time, so let's talk about, for folks who are listening, we're certainly going to let them know how they can connect with you directly, but what advice would you give people who are looking to approach the application process, like right now, they're looking at it now?
So I think that what most students do and where most students go wrong is that they do what we as parents and teachers tell them to do, which is break down a big problem into component pieces, and once you finish the component pieces, you're done. The problem with that is if you approach the college application like a checklist, when you send that application electronically to the admissions officer who's probably never met you, they see a checklist, not a person. And they're trying to figure out who you are and what impact you're going to have on the campus and beyond graduation from a checklist of things. And they're trying to do this for probably 30 to 40 applicants every day. Instead of approaching it like a checklist, I advise my students to approach it like a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. And the student is the picture on the puzzle. And then think very strategically about what piece does each element of the application play in order to show the picture that is on that puzzle? So what do your grades and transcripts say about you? What will your teacher recommendations say about you? What do your extracurriculars say about you? And after you have all of those components in place, then think about what's the gap or what's not coming through clearly enough, and that becomes your essay topic. And by doing it this way, what you have is you start with the idea of what's the picture I'm going to present about who I am and the impact I want to have, and then have all of the elements of the application work together to communicate that picture in a way that is clear and comprehensive and consistent. And by that, admissions officers will be able to really get a clear picture of who you are and what role you'll play and hopefully offer you a spot at their school.
Well, and, you know, certainly it's overwhelming to think about this for someone who maybe just thought, oh, I'm just going to fill in the forms and mail it in. And the exciting thing to me, and I've seen it, and I can highly recommend the organization and the effort that you've put into it. You've created a system, and I want to spend the last few minutes of our time together with you talking about the complete candidate system that you've created, as well as how can the listeners connect with you directly to get more information or to hire you to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Complete Candidate is it's a five-part step-by-step system that takes a student through the specific steps of how do you first develop an effective college admissions strategy, which I think most students fail to do, and then how do you use the very few pieces of the college application to execute that strategy. So it includes an instructional DVD, a step-by-step workbook, a flash drive with downloadable templates, an online application management system that also gives personality assessments and learning assessments that will help you not only manage your college applications and deadlines, but will help you search for schools based on your personality and learning style, as well as all of the other factors like location and size and academic major, brings to you all of the scholarships offered. So it's a really great comprehensive system. It is available on Amazon at the Complete Candidate. And again, once you go through it, it is designed to be very instructional, very directive, and if you follow the system at the end, you will have a complete application ready to deliver to your target schools.
Well, I know, as you said, there's more than 4,000 of those schools out there, and so it's important for people to be able to create this. You also have a website, and I have the MaulerInstitute.com, and that's M-A-U-L-E-R, MaulerInstitute.com, and I know you've probably got a lot of resources available on there as well.
I absolutely do. So if you go to themaulerinstitute.com, you can certainly connect with me through there. My email is there, contact forms. If you'd like to set up an initial consultation, you can do that through the website as well. You can always follow us on Facebook at the Mauler Institute and Twitter, and I'll make sure that all of these are available, Sarah, on your website as well, in case any of the listeners want to connect with me. I'd be more than happy to help.
Well, outstanding. And I have to tell you, Steph, it's a delight, as always, to talk to you. And I really appreciate you being so willing to share freely of your experiences as well as your wisdom and insights. So thank you for being with me today. And for those of you who are listening, this is just the first of four shows we're going to do. Steph's going to come back and talk about how to choose the right college, what the parent's role is in helping the student, and debating the pros and cons of a liberal arts education. So I'm excited about today and certainly all the future shows that we're going to do. So thanks again for being on with me today, Steph.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. And listeners, I want to remind you that I have folks like Steph on the show because you've said, hey, I have a kid. I want to figure out the best path for them and how can I help them. And we certainly do consider Steph Mauler with the Mauler Institute to be a wise advisor in this area. I want to remind you that Plaid for Women Radio is brought to you in part by Tarrant County College, Comerica Bank, Lucas Funeral Homes, and Higginbotham Insurance. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We are delighted to hear you, to get to know you, to have you connect with us in ways that are meaningful for you and for us as well. You can visit us at plaid4women.com. You can join our community for free. You can blog for free. And joining also gives you access to years of aggregated content by wise advisors just like Steph. And I like to give a shout out as often as possible to those folks who have made the decision to join our community. And today I want to give a shout out to Michaela Jones, Pamela Smith Masters, Elizabeth Salvatore, Fatima White, Nadia Nazir, Mandy Bain, Nedra Robinson, and Lisa Key. Thank you so much for making the decision to become part of Plaid for Women. We see you and appreciate you and recognize you. I want to remind you that my guest today was Steph Mahler with the Mahler Institute. We had a wonderful discussion about the basics that you need to be aware of to help your kid get into college. Powerful stuff. You can connect with her at the Mahler, M-A-U-L-E-R, Institute.com. Thanks again for tuning in today, and let me just remind you, you have been zinked. Listen up!